So here we are again.
Yep.
Let's get right into it. We're back after a short vacation again. This week we're back with Driving Rain. So I'm Jay, Mix on the other side. All right, well, this week marks the 50th anniversary of Rubber Soul. And we're talking about the week of the 30th of November through the 4th or the 5th of December. You got any feelings about that? Rubber Soul's 50 years old.
Yeah, today is the U.S. release of Rubber Soul, as well as the U.S. single release of We Can Work It Out and Day Tripper, today, right now, December 6th.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, well, this week we're doing Driving Rain, which came out shortly after 9/11, and there is a hidden track on the album that kind of deals with that. It was released on November 12th of 2001. And I'm assuming this is the first time you heard this album. So what were your preconceived notions of it compared to your realization after listening to it?
I don't remember hearing all that many great reviews about the album when it came out. But then looking back at the reviews while I was researching the album, it seems like everybody likes it. So I'm kind of surprised where I got the idea that this was not that great an album. But and so that's why I never bothered to listen to it till just this week, and having listened to it, it's an okay album. There aren't any bad songs on it, but I'm still lukewarm on it. So that's my overall review.
And well, there's some definite filler. Can't we agree on that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go into it because the first three songs are pretty strong. Lonely Road. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, this is a good song. I really like it, and I like the lyrics to it too. I mean, you can probably guess that he's singing about Linda. So it's a good song in that regard. It has a nice. It's a good song.
Yeah, good bass intro, good electric guitar mixed with the bass line. The chorus is good. It's a good mid-tempo rocker, and the bass line has that Beatles riff feel to it, and I like when Paul tries to riff it off at the end with the vocals. I think it's pretty good, but as we mentioned off show, this album definitely shows a marked difference in his voice from Run Devil Run.
Yeah, I was wondering if this marked the start of his voice going bad. And so I looked up how old he was at the time, and he's only 59, which doesn't seem like, I mean, he still could have a strong voice at 59. But then I read that he blew his voice out before the recording session started, so that's why his voice sounds so rough. And he tried to record the simpler songs first and then get into the hard rockers toward the end of the recording sessions. But I think you can still hear the effects, and it's... His voice isn't bad, but it still sounded better. And it's a marked difference between Driving Rain and Run Double Run, because I thought he sounded excellent in Run Double Run. And then just his very next album, skipping all the classical stuff that he did in between, that I don't even think he appears on, that he sings on. It's such a big difference between this album and Run Double Run.
What did he do to blow his voice out?
I saw a story on one of the websites where he got in an argument. He went to India and wrote some songs there, and especially the third to last song or second to last song, the Riding to Jaipur or Into Jaipur, whatever it's called. And he got in an argument with a carpet salesman, and they got into a big shouting match, and he blew his voice out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we go from here to From a Lover with a Friend. What'd you think of that?
I like this song, too. I especially like the title. The title just seems like it's the title to a poem or something. And so I just, as soon as I saw the title, it's like, oh, this would be good. And it is a good song. It's one of my... It's one in a handful of good songs on the album.
Yeah, this has good keyboards. The voice is better on this song than the last one, I think. This song's kind of about Linda and maybe a little bit of Heather, unfortunately, in there. It's got a good bluesy feel. I like that mid-song interlude. Double-tracked vocal kind of makes up for the lack of his voice, I think. And there's a lot of pain in the lyrics, and overall, I think this is a pretty good lyric as well. And it has a good bass line at the end. The bass playing on this album is very, very good throughout. Yeah, this is a good song. Now we get into She's Given Up Talking, which is a very different sounding song. What'd you think?
Yeah, they started to use some studio trickery to make this sound more modern, I guess, contemporary. It sounds like the stuff that they tried to do in Press to Play. And I kind of like it, but the melody's too simple for me and the song goes on way too long. But overall, it's not a bad song. It's still in the good column, but I've got reservations.
Yeah, I like that acoustic feel. It has a little bit of a Ram feel to it, too. Overall, I think the sound is pretty good, the sound of it. The guitar is really good. It's kind of foreboding. It also reminds me of a demented nursery rhyme a little bit. It's a better song than I remember, and again, the bass is just very, very good. The fade-out near the end goes on a little bit too long, like you mentioned, but overall, I do give this song a thumbs up. Now we get into the title track, Driving Rain, which again is a big departure from the last three songs with a totally different sound to it, which may kind of work against it. I'm not sure, but I'll get your opinion first.
I saw some complaints about this song just because of the opening line. It's so stupid. And I saw a lot of people really didn't like this. They thought it was like, well, anyway, but I thought it was an okay song. I think it's really up-tempo. It just makes you think about just driving on the open road with the top down, even though you're in the rain. According to this song, you're in the rain, but it's still a good driving song.
Yeah, this song is really, really poppy as far as the other songs. The chorus, though, like most McCartney songs, is very, very catchy. This song is very upbeat, like you mentioned. I don't know how I feel about it. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 nonsense does wear on you a bit. I could definitely see why somebody would complain about this. But overall, it's not bad. I Do is next. This is the short one. What'd you think?
Yeah, this is an okay song. I really didn't care for it that much. And you can really tell that Paul is losing his falsetto. And it just gets worse from here.
Yeah, I agree.
Through the years, I mean. Not album-wise, but through the years.
Yeah, this has a little instrumental feel to it. It has a nice little instrumental to it. The song starts off a little too soon for me. His voice just kicks in immediately. And that was kind of unnerving. I'm not sure I like that. He's trying to do kind of a Beatle riff here. I'm not sure it works. This is definitely not one of my favorite on the album. Tiny Bubble, what'd you think?
Lyrically, I have no idea what the chorus is supposed to mean because it doesn't make any sense. But song-wise, it was okay. There's another one that wasn't good, wasn't bad, it was just there.
I think the bluesy sound to it is cool. He's stretching out a bit with the sound overall. I think the lyrics are okay. Is it a commentary on the world in general? I don't know. Or, you know, how we all live kind of in a bubble and everything else is kind of out there in the peripheral. I don't know if that's what he's trying to say. But if that is what he's trying to say, I kind of thought that was kind of cool. The guitar solo is decent, and musically, I thought this song was pretty good. Magic is next. What'd you think?
This is another okay song. It's pretty much going to be my review for the rest of the album. This is a bit better. compared to all the other ones. But still, it's fairly forgettable, really.
Yeah, well, you know this song's about meeting Heather Mills.
I figured.
Which kind of makes me not like it at all. Just because he wrote a ton of songs about her on this album, and then the whole thing blows up not too many years after this album. And I'm sure looking back, he probably wishes that he wouldn't have kind of universally went out to the mountaintop and proclaimed his love. I mean, he did everything but jump on the couch, like Tom Cruise. The chorus of this song is very good, is very good and catchy. The bass line is, again, very good. It ends with violins. I kind of like that, but overall, it's just an okay song. Your Way is next. What'd you think of that?
It's another okay song. It's Paul's going country again, like he's done so many times before, and it's a easygoing song, not much to it, and I give it the okay rating.
Yeah, that's why I like this. This is classic Paul from the early 70s. It just made me feel nostalgic, maybe, or maybe like, yeah, this is the Paul that I want to hear a little more of on this record. It has that Ram sound, the country guitars, like you mentioned. I really like this song. Out of all of them, this song really makes me feel like this is a McCartney album.
I had that same feeling, but a few songs down the way.
Spinning on an Axis. What'd you think of that? This is a long...
Yeah, I guess this was co-written with his son, James. And I kind of like the music to it. But the song itself, it seemed more like a jam than a song, really. Because the lyrics didn't seem to go anywhere. And he just started repeating the title over and over toward the end. The title near the end.
When he starts out, I'm thinking, is he rapping? I didn't know what was going on here. And this song just moves away too much from the Paul McCartney formula. That being said, I like the guitars. I don't know. I don't have... This it's not a great song. I mean, this is just not. About You, what did you think about that?
This was an alright song too, which I considered to be below okay. And
wow.
Just a little bit below. Like I said, there aren't any songs on this album that I outright disliked, but there were songs that were passable, slightly passable, and less than slightly passable. And I guess this would be the slightly less than passable, apparently, according to what I just said. If you're going by that as a gauge, but I just put all right.
This song does rock a bit, though.
Tell you the truth, I've already forgotten what it is. And I even wrote the lyrics down. I wrote one of the lines down to remind me what the song was, and I still can't remember it.
Yeah, this album is not going to stick in your mind very much because there's too many sounds on it that are totally different.
Yeah.
This had a good sound to it. It does rock a bit. I'm going to go with your review. It's just okay. But, you know, I'm not going to skip it if I was putting down. I wouldn't skip it.
Yeah, there aren't any songs that are skippable. Even the incredibly long song at the end isn't even that bad. Isn't even bad enough to skip. So, unlike some of his albums, I could sit through this, but I don't know if I'd necessarily enjoy sitting through it. But it would make good background music.
Yeah, that's an interesting sound. I definitely wouldn't want to turn somebody on to solo McCartney with this album.
Yes, definitely.
Heather, now you got to have something bad to say about this.
It's pretty much an instrumental till toward the end when he remembers that the microphone's on and he needs to sing something. And apart from that, I don't even remember it that much, except for it being like 2.5 minutes of instrumental and 30 seconds of vocals.
Total album filler. Not one of his best instrumentals, but the harmonies at the end kind of make up for it. So the lyrics come in, like you said, in the last half minute of the song, and it's just, I don't know. He should just blot this off from his from his writing credentials. This song is not very good, unfortunately. And I bet if you... Huh?
Does he have a daughter named Heather?
Yes.
Well, there you go. He could just say it's about her.
Well, he could, but we'd all know better.
Because I don't think he says anything outright about a relationship on it. It just sings about a girl, doesn't he? So maybe he can say it's about his daughter.
Back in the Sunshine Again. What'd you think of that?
This is the other song that was co-written with his son, James. And I wrote, all right, so it's below okay.
Cool bluesy feel to it, though. This is 10 times better than Heather, so if you sit through Heather and this comes up, it's definitely like, wow, okay, maybe he's back on track here. But again, I noted that his voice is markedly different than Run Devil Run, which you can definitely tell on this song. I do like this song, though. It's pretty good. Your Loving Flame, what'd you think of that?
This one I like. This is the song I was referring to earlier when you were saying that... I forgot. Oh, Your Away was the song that made it sound like a Paul album. This, to me, is the song that makes it sound like a Paul album. Because it's got a really nice melody, it's piano-based, and it's just a really nice song. And I guess the story behind it is that he wrote it at the Carlisle Hotel in New York, a room on the 36th floor, and when he walked into it, he thought he was walking into a Cole Porter movie. So he wrote the song because of that, and it does have that old-time classic style song standard with a song with a really nice melody.
So yeah, this is a really good song. Back to form again, a great Paul ballad. Guitar solo reminds me of Maybe I'm Amazed, and this is a solid song. It's very, very good. Big thumbs up on this one. Riding Into Jupiter.
Jaipur, not Jupiter.
Oh. I totally wrote that down wrong. You're right. Go ahead. What'd you think of this? I'm sorry.
This song was written in India. A few other songs were written in India, too. Lonely Road, I Do, and About You. And the lyrics were written in India, in Goa, India. But I believe, according to what I've read, that the melody already existed. And but they added Indian instrumentation to give the song a whole Indian feel. And the melody reminds me of O Tannenbaum. So hearing O Tannenbaum done with Indian instruments reminds me of the Fab Four's Christmas album, where they did an Indian version of a Christmas song. And now I can't remember what that Christmas song was.
Didn't this kind of remind you of a George song?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, this has a cool guitar and sitar sound to it, and it reminds me of something George would have threw on Peppers. That being said, I actually like this song, and the drums were cool, too.
The Indian song that the Fab Four do is God Rest You Merry Gentlemen.
Oh, that would have been cool. Maybe I'll have to throw that in.
Don't you have it? I thought he gave you both their albums. The Fab Four's albums, Christmas albums.
Oh, you're talking about yes, I do have that. Yes. Okay, now I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, that's my recommendation, by the way, dear listener, is the two Fab Four Christmas albums. They're amazingly good. For every Beatles fan has to have copies of both the Fab Four's Christmas albums.
Yeah, they are fun, I remember. We'll talk about them. We'll catch them on the end there and talk about them a little bit. Is it Rinse the Raindrops?
Yeah, I kept thinking it was like Race the Raindrops or Raise the Raindrops, but Rinse the Raindrops makes no sense at all. Why would you rinse raindrops? You can't make them more wet. What's the purpose of rinsing raindrops?
Good point. Is that your review then?
Yeah, my review of this day long song is, what's the point of rinsing raindrops? The song is way too long, obviously. You know that going in. Any song that's 10 minutes long is probably too long. And but when you're listening to it, it's not that boring because it does change every couple minutes, even though it's pretty much the same melody. They do, you know, some studio trickery to make it slightly different. And there are fades into different sections of the song. I guess they jammed for half an hour, and the producer edited it down to 10 minutes. But it is way too long, even though it's not necessarily all that boring.
No, it's definitely not a boring song, but yeah, I'll agree with you. And I wrote down, song is very long, right, Mick? tries to rock, and I think he succeeds in it. It's definitely a jam song. I like the keyboard sound to it. It's kind of weird near the end where Paul kind of mumbles nonsense. Reminds me of something the Beatles would have done. It ends with it. There's also a demo sounding mix in there that is part of the jam, which kind of threw me for a loop, which I kind of liked. I don't know. I wouldn't skip this song necessarily, but when you first see it, when it's on coming up and you're like, oh God, it's 10 minutes and 12 seconds long, you're kind of reserved a little bit because, well, we'll talk about it in the wrap up, but this song was a big surprise because I haven't heard it in probably, I haven't played this album probably in 15 years. Freedom is the last song, which was an add-on because this is a song written directly about 9/11 and Paul's on the tarmac, I think, and his plane got stopped due to the Twin Towers being bombed in New York City. I think that's the story. You might correct me.
Yeah, that's right. He was on the plane, and they couldn't take off, so he was stuck on the tarmac, and he could see the smoke rising from where the Trade Center was. And so I guess that made him feel
patriotic,
I guess. And the first time I heard this song was, I guess, when the first time anybody heard this song was the concert for New York that Paul had a big hand in organizing, which I think was, I can't remember the date, and I'm too lazy to look it up, but I think it was like October or something, like a month later.
Yeah, late October.
20th of October, 2001. Hello, everybody. Happy New Year.
Yeah, and it was a pretty good concert. I've got the DVD of it upstairs. It was a really great concert, and a lot of big names showing support from New York. And Paul did this song during his part of the concert, and then he made everybody sing it again for the final song of the concert.
Yeah, what'd you think of this song?
It's okay. It's definitely trying to be an anthem, so I guess it succeeds. It sounds like one, but I don't know. It's just too simplistic for me. I would have much rather if Paul had written a Little Willow type song for you know, the people that lost their lives or something like that, instead of this jingoistic song that he wrote.
Yeah, it's catchy though, but it did get a very bad rap at the time.
And there's a funny video on YouTube, a behind the scenes video where Paul is telling Eric Clapton about the song that he wrote, that Paul wrote.
I remember.
And
go ahead.
Eric Clapton's just standing there, just listening to Paul go on and on about how great this song is, and how it's going to be a great, you know, crowd pleaser, and it's going to get everybody riled up, and you can just tell Eric Clapton wants out of this conversation immediately, and just can't find a way to get out of it. It's pretty funny to see how awkward Eric Clapton looks, trapped by Paul.
Yeah, the lyrics are very thin. But the guitars are pretty good. I don't mind this song, and he played it when he toured shortly after the release of this album, and the crowd seemed to like it, so he hasn't played it again, and I think he made some comment about the bad rap it got, which is why he kind of pulled it from the set list, and I don't think we missed it either. But that being said, it's an alright song. I kind of like it. So that's it. That's Driving Rain. So overall, what'd you think?
Like I said, this album's not bad, but it just, there's no real strong song on it. There are a couple good songs on it, and all the rest of it is just there. It's just okay. And so, so I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be going back to this album, except on very rare occasions. The other thing I don't like, and I know you're going to get upset about this, is I didn't care for the drumming.
Really?
Yes. And I know you'd be upset because you like the drummer. This is that I can't remember the guy's name.
Laborel Jr.
Abe. I was going to call him Adam. Abe. And he's the drummer who's still with Paul now. And the drumming is just way too heavy on this. It's way too prominent. And I just don't like it.
Yeah, this is the first incarnation of the Paul McCartney band. And we'll go through them shortly. It's Abe Laborel Jr., Rusty Anderson, and then later on he'll add Brian Ray, which is the core of the band now, and Wix Wiggins. And Wix, from what I can see here, does not appear on the album, but he's toured with Paul since the 90s, and that will become the core of the Paul McCartney touring band. I think Brian Ray joined him for the Super... No, he joined him for the concert from New York for the first time, kind of round out the sound. And I know he played with him on the Super Bowl performance as well. But Brian Ray will tour with him the following year in 2002, and he'll appear, of course, on the Back in the USA live album as well. The band, I love his band, but I'm surprised. Do you not like Abe at all, or just on this album?
No, I don't like him on this album. I really don't know. I've only seen him live, really. I've only heard him live. And so this is like the first time I've heard his studio stuff mixed in, and it's just too heavy. He doesn't have a light touch. On this album, he does not have a light touch. It's just overpowering.
Well, interesting. Well, we'll get your opinion because he appears on Cast on Creation as well. Not on the album. Most of Cast on Creation is just Paul, but there are some songs where the full band appears. So he'll be on that, and I believe he's also on Memory Almost Full too, and he's on New as well. So he's not going anywhere. We'll have to round back to that at the when we get on the couple of the next albums. So would you recommend this album?
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't say bad things about it, but no, I don't think I'd recommend it.
Yeah, this album has not been played by me since 2002 or 3, and there are some good songs, and some of the songs are on a playlist I made, but on a whole, this is not a go-to album, unfortunately.
Yeah, I wouldn't drive anybody away from this album, but I don't think I'd steer anybody toward it to keep up the driving metaphor, I guess.
Chaos and Creation is a much better album. It's 10 times better. And I'm not going to have much bad to say about that album on a whole. That is just a fantastic record. But we're not there yet. So what are your recommendations this week?
Well, I guess it's the two Fab Four Christmas albums. The first one is called Fab Four Christmas, and the second one is called Have Yourself a Fabulous Little Christmas. They've been put on... They were released separately as two CDs, but I believe that they've been combined into one CD called Hark, and it looks like the Help album cover. So if you go to the Fab Four's website, I think that's how they sell it now.
And they still tour, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're not Rain, but they're right up there with Rain. Yeah. And I wanted to mention the Beatles Fest is coming up. Did you get your Beatles Fest catalog in the mail?
I don't think I do get a Beatles Fest catalog.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but hopefully I can remember by next show that it's coming up, and there's some good guests. I wanted to go through the guests, but forgot all about it. I do know Pete Asher is going to be there, but I can't remember anything else, so that's my fault. I'll try to remember that next time we record. So that's the Driving Rain episode. You got anything else?
Yeah, there are a couple of news stories that we didn't talk about. I believe we did not talk about Andy White, who was the drummer on Love Me Do, the album version of Love Me Do. He passed away last month, so that's another Beatle who has left us, even though he only appeared on one song. And he died of a stroke, and he was living in New Jersey. And so, just want to note his passing. And also, Ringo Starr and Barbara Bach put a bunch of stuff up for auction to raise some funds for a foundation that they've started. And Ringo sold his Beatle drum kit. The famous Beatle drum kit was bought by the owner of the Indianapolis Colts for over $2.1 million.
How much did the first edition of the White Album go for?
I just saw that. I don't remember offhand. It was less than a million. I think it was like 970,000 or something like that. And now I can't remember. I can't remember where I saw it. Oh, here it is. No, I got it. I transposed the numbers. It sold for $790,000.
Wow.
And that was the UK copy of the Beatles White Album on vinyl with the number one on it. Because all of them were numbered. And Ringo had the very first one.
That's cool.
With, I think, six zeros and the number one.
All right. Well, that's interesting. You got anything else?
Nope. Those were the three news stories. Today is the anniversary of the U.S. release of Rubber Soul and We Can Work It Out and Day Tripper and the Ringo auction and the passing of Andy White. So those are the big news stories.
I'm surprised Ringo wants to part with all these artifacts.
Yeah, I was surprised too, especially the Beatles drum kit. It's like, you can keep that. It's not even that big. It's not like he's Keith Moon with a million drums and gongs and stuff all around him. He's only got like two drums and a bass drum and some cymbals.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting that he'd want to get rid of that. I guess the only thing I have is this week, the Beatles Anthology Revisited podcast made a large part of this week's episode dedicated to the passing of Brian Epstein. And there's a lot of nice remarks from Paul and George and John and Ringo. And it just shows how much he meant to the band and what the band thought of him and what he did for the band and how they kind of... John mentioned something about he knew this was the beginning of the end with the passing of Brian, and it pretty much was, and it sounds like he was a little resentful about Paul trying to take over the reins of the band following the passing, because Paul wanted to rush everybody back in the studio and just get back to work to try to cope with this loss. And of course we got Magical Mystery Tour out of that, and down the road, we'll get Abbey Road and the Let It Be sessions. We're also a part of Paul's influence there. It was a lot of good remarks about Brian Epstein. And Ringo feels that it was not a suicide. It was just an accident. And he remarks about how a lot of his friends died the same way. Keith Moon, Mama Cass, and I believe he mentioned Jim Morrison too. And it was very, very poignant, and I thought it was really, really cool to hear John's voice, especially from the past, mentioning how much Brian Epstein meant to him personally. So if you guys have not listened to the Beatles Revisited and Beatles Anthology Revisited podcast yet, I would try to seek out that particular episode. I can't remember what number it was, but the whole thing's worth listening to because it's just fabulous. And if you listen to that, you can hear McCartney's 60s and 70s, 60s voice, and then they flash forward to more recent interviews, and you definitely hear a big difference in his talking voice as well.
Well, that's because it's a different guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, here we go again. It's just a very, very good podcast, and any Beatles fan should definitely go out there and seek it out. Available on iTunes. And also, I've got a Beatles podcast, did a lengthy review of Rubber Soul for the 50th anniversary celebration. So that's another podcast out there. And they did not like What Goes On, the Ringo song off that album. And I always have really enjoyed that tune, but they just hated it. And they didn't like The Word either. And The Word is a hell of a song off that album. So... if you guys check that podcast out, go onto their Facebook page and give them hell, because I've been doing that. And that's all I got. So next time we get together, we will get into Chaos and Creation in the Backyard next time. So that'll be it. Next time we get together, hopefully, I don't think we'll be doing this before the end of the year. What do you think?
We could, but it probably is going to get tougher as we get closer to the holidays.
But we'll do our best. If it happens, it happens. But if not, we'll reconvene after the new year.